Let us pray. Dear Jesus Christ, our loving Savior and gracious Lord, we thank you for coming into this world of spiritual darkness to give us the light of the gospel and reveal God's love through your suffering and death for all people. Enlighten our hearts this Advent season so that we may rejoice in your salvation. Help us to seek first the righteousness and peace you came to win for us and set our affections on heavenly things. Bless our worship as we receive your word and supper so that we hear and believe in the grace you give us. Keep us in the true faith until we see you coming in glory and power. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the 17th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 20th verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here or look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out from one part of under heaven shines to the other part of under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it also was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear members of Christ's kingdom of grace, last Sunday we spoke of recognizing Jesus as our King of Truth. Today the question is about what kingdom is it? Is it an earthly kingdom, or does Jesus give us a spiritual one? We also need to know how we become members of this kingdom. Is it by birth? Is it by devotion, our devotion or works? Or is it by faith? And third, we need to know when is Jesus' kingdom coming to us. In our text, Jesus gives us two answers. One, it is within us, and two, it is coming like lightning. Because Jesus is a King of Truth, we are to believe what Jesus says in our text so that we are prepared both to celebrate Christmas, but also to be prepared for the time when Jesus does come on the last day, that is, Judgment Day. We need to appreciate God's grace coming to us. We need to be prepared so that we are ready when the lightning strikes. So, in order that we may be prepared, let us look at our text, which says Jesus' kingdom is coming. And on the basis of that text, Jesus' answer should lead us to desire his kingdom of grace and to desire to see his kingdom when he comes at the last day. Now, as Americans, we have no desire to have a king or to live in a kingdom. We're a republic. We don't want a king and don't know what it would mean to live under a king. But until about 300 years ago, most people in the world live under some sort of king or tyrant or some sort of government as a monarchy. And these people owed their obedience and their loyalty to that king. A word of defiance, a word of disloyalty could mean prison or death under such a regime. And also, people expected that their king would bring them prosperity and peace, and that their kingdom would be a glorious kingdom compared to the rest of the world. In Jesus' time, the Jews especially wanted a king in order, first of all, to drive out the Romans, but secondly, to establish a glorious kingdom, not only just in the land of Israel, but over the whole world. And they would be rulers under the king, that is the Messiah. They wanted to retain the glory and regain the glory that King Solomon and David had 1,000 years before. And so that was the Messiah they were expecting would come. Given these expectations, perhaps the Pharisees were getting a little anxious when they asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" Now, the descendants of Abraham have been waiting 2,000 years for the Messiah to come and for God to keep his promise. 800 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied, "Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." 200 years later, the prophet Jeremiah wrote, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king will reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." Now, instead of focusing on Isaiah's word Emmanuel, which means God with us, and Jeremiah's a branch of righteousness, the people of Jesus' day were focusing on that earthly king idea, being under a kingdom, and all the glory that would come from the Messiah, that what they thought. And so when John the Baptist came, as we heard in our text, our gospel this morning, came and preached repentance, many people rejected this message. They didn't want a king. They weren't prepared to receive Jesus as their king over their souls, but a king. They wanted a king, an earthly king. But God did not send them an earthly king. His children needed a kingdom of grace, much more than they needed an earthly kingdom. This kingdom of Jesus could not be seen by humans. Jesus told the Pharisees where the kingdom was. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. For God wants to rule over souls that are precious to him, our precious souls. And so God sent Jesus to be a king and to be a conqueror, a victor over our enemies. And this meant that Jesus had to keep the law in our place, and that he had to offer his life on the cross to suffer death in our place in order to win the victory over Satan, sin, and death. Satan had destroyed God's beautiful creation by tempting Adam and Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit, and so brought sin and death upon all people. And the Bible says that all have sinned. Everyone who descends from Adam and Eve is born sinful, except Jesus. And because of that, it means that this is the source of all sinful actions and evil in the world. And we see in our own lives that we have that evil nature that sometimes bursts out in actual sins. And that's why we come every Sunday to confess our sins and say, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed before God. We have broken his laws. We deserve his eternal wrath. And so King David also acknowledged his sinfulness when he said, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and into sin did my mother conceive me." Our corrupt nature also produces actual sins, as the Bible said, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them." And that word curse means God's wrath. And not just here on earth, but eternal wrath in heaven, eternal wrath in hell, which is the curse of sin. And that's what you and I deserve. However, God's mercy is so great that he does not want anyone to end up in hell. Yes, hell was created for the devil and his angels, Jesus said. But those who follow the devil, who reject Jesus as their Savior, will end up in that kingdom also. Not because God wants them there. He wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is that salvation which comes to us through faith in Jesus, which also was a gift of God. In order to establish that salvation, we hear Jesus saying in our text, "The Son of Man must first suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." Jesus must suffer because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. If we shed our blood in death, that does nothing for our sins. We end up in hell. But when the Son of God sheds his blood, his perfect holy blood for us, that is precious, and it pays the ransom for our sins. And therefore, we have salvation from sin and eternal death. We are to believe what the Bible says about Jesus. Jesus Christ the righteous is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he declared the forgiveness of all people, that it is when one. He declares all sins are forgiven. And this comforts us, because if Jesus died for all, if God has forgiven the sins of all, then our sins also is forgiven. But we need personally to receive this forgiveness, and that's why Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And the word saved means to be rescued, to be delivered from eternal death. We are saved through faith in Jesus. And in baptism, we are connected with the salvation Jesus won for us. Everything that he did, as Romans 6 says, is ours through baptism. And when we pray, thy kingdom come in the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God's kingdom not come here on earth, but to come among us also with his word. We're also praying that his kingdom of glory would come on the last day. Luther explains, what does this mean? The kingdom of God comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and live godly lives here in time and hereafter in eternity. This is the kingdom of grace, which we are to be a member of, which God has called us to be. And so we should be desire to be in that kingdom. And as members of that kingdom, we should also desire that Jesus come with his kingdom of glory on the last day. In our catechism, we talk about the fact that Jesus is a king of three kingdoms. One, the kingdom of power, which is Jesus ruling, God ruling over all the universe. The second kingdom is God's kingdom of grace, which is the Holy Christian Church, through which we receive his word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, the means of grace. The third kingdom is his kingdom of glory, which is heaven. Jesus rules over all three. As God, he can do all of that. But his kingdom of grace is one we want to be members of through faith in Jesus, in order that we might one day enter into his kingdom of glory. In our text, Jesus warned us about seeking a kingdom outside of the kingdom of grace when he says, the days will come when you desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples were instructed that they were not to look for Jesus here on earth. They would not find him, ever, until he comes at the last day. And so, for 2,000 years, many a believer has prayed earnestly that God's kingdom come at the last and deliver them from the persecution and trials and wickedness of this world. Many members of Christ's kingdom have waited for their earthly suffering to depart so that they could be with the Lord. However, there are others in many a denomination and false teacher who have declared that they are the kingdom of God here on earth. Others claim that they know when Jesus will return, saying, look here or look there. But Jesus says, don't go after them and don't follow them. Because the Bible says, no one will know when Jesus comes. No one will see Jesus until he comes on the last day. If we want to know Jesus, if we want to receive his kingdom, if we want to receive his grace, then we need to look for Jesus where he says that he will be. Jesus is in his word. We are connected with Jesus in baptism, and we are united with Jesus in the communion of our Lord's Supper. That's where we'll find Jesus. That's where we'll find God's grace. That's where we have forgiveness of sins. That's where we have a preparation for Christmas. For as we see God's grace and mercy, we see that it is only in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Only in him can we have peace and comfort. Only in Christ are we included in his kingdom of grace. Jesus tells us that when he comes again, everyone in the world will see it. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part of under heaven shines to another part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his glory. Now, how Jesus can appear to all people all around the world, I don't know how that can happen. That's not my problem to solve. Jesus is God and could do anything. He promises to do this, and therefore we can believe his words. You and I need to be ready for when he does come, prepared, and that's what Advent is about, to prepare for Jesus coming. Coming to us through his kingdom of grace and coming to us through his kingdom of glory on the last day. Why is it important to be ready? St. Peter answered, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Everyone will be surprised when Jesus returns, caught off guard in many cases. There will be no time to be prepared or read a Bible verse. We need to be ready now. Jesus gives us two examples of people who are not ready. In the days of Noah, while he was building the ark, many people laughed at him and said, "There's no way that the water can raise your ark and get it off the ground. There's not enough water." And so they didn't listen to Noah. And only 8 people went on the ark because they believed God's word. And the rest of them drowned and ended up in hell. Now, notice what Jesus says in our text. These people ate and they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, none of these activities that Jesus describes here are sinful in themselves. But this is all that they were prepared to do. Their whole lives were concerned about things of this world. They did not believe that the flood would come, and therefore they're not ready, and they did not get on the ark before the door was closed. In the same way, in the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels came and told Lot to get out because the cities would be destroyed. Lot went out and tried to talk to people and tell them that about this, but only he and his daughters were saved from that. Even his wife turned around and became a pillar of salt, because she was not ready and prepared to let everything go. There is nothing on this earth that's more important than Jesus. Nothing more important than the kingdom of God and his grace. Nothing more important than getting into the kingdom of glory. That kingdom of glory is ours through faith in Jesus. So we are not to be like these people who thought that everything was going on the same and that there would be no end. That's why Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." And St. Paul urges us, "Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and do not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard." Since God has made us members of his kingdom of grace, you and I are to be prepared and act like members of his grace and of his kingdom. It means that we cling to Jesus and his words as the most important part of our life, so that we reject all false teachings. As children of God who are washed from our sins, it means that we crucify our sinful life so that we flee from sin and flee from the temptations so that we don't bring shame to our Savior. It also means that we love one another just as Christ had loved us. And being prepared means that we set our minds on things above and not on things of the earth. On that day, just as we celebrate Christmas in a few weeks, but on that day when Jesus comes, you and I will be prepared. Not because we're so devoted, not because we haven't sinned, not because we love God more than anything else. But we will be prepared only because God the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, enlightened us with his gifts, sanctified and kept us in the true faith, that true faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. May we rejoice at Christmas at the wonderful blessing and gift that God has given to us, and then we will be prepared for when Jesus comes. And may God all grant us that we all end up in God's kingdom of glory when he returns. God grant this for us all. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.